sack. Is that all you get for your money? And if that's what you have in mind, yeah, if that's what you're all about, good luck moving up, 'cause I'm moving out.
Good morning. Welcome to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate team, sitting here with a coughing Becky Ivins. How are you?
Wow.
How are you this morning, Becky?
Well, it's still spring. It felt like summer this morning.
It did feel like
when
summer.
When I walked out the door, but the
wind is up,
in
the
air.
Pollen is in the air.
Yeah.
And those who struggle with allergies are like,
it's real.
It's a real struggle.
So, well, good morning, everybody. I'm glad to have you join us today because we're going to be talking about something that most people, it just kind of went under the radar, and most people are unaware of what has happened in the mortgage company, in the mortgage business. It's not all companies, I guess, but we have got our expert here who is Dean Riddell from SWBC Mortgage. Good morning, Dean.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Well, I'm good.
I'm doing great. Becky, I just wanted to warn you, Dean. Becky is hot and bothered about this one. She has some passionate thoughts with it.
Well, I don't get to choose. That's the problem.
This will be good.
It's done.
It is.
And I just have to accept it, even though I really, really think this is a terrible move of the government. Terrible.
And listener, if you want to join the conversation today, if you have questions, comments, you can call in. The number's 405-840-1000. That's 405-840-1000.
Yeah, okay. Well, the mortgage regulators, right? The federal regulators of the mortgage for Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, which are conventional loans, by the way.
Great point.
Announced, is it arcane? Schedule?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. A new loan fees. This was announced in January. And I mean, I heard about this, but I really didn't pay much attention. I thought, oh, they're not going to do that. That's just crazy.
But 2 or 3 weeks ago, it became more public. Mm-hmm. You know, you started seeing some things in print from different news articles, but it's real. It's here. There's still one piece to the puzzle that was to roll out May 1 that the mortgage bankers were fighting everything, but the mortgage bankers are fighting the debt ratio aspect of it, because I don't know if you're aware of that, and we'll get into that here in a little bit, but the debt ratio is part of that loan level price adjustment factor as well that's been postponed till August.
Well, and basically what this does is it penalizes borrowers with high credit scores and rewards those with slightly lower credit scores.
You know, reward is a way to put it, or is it to promote ownership for the audience that low to moderate income, credit risky, you know, it really is.
Isn't that what FHA was?
Well, but roll back to what happened in 2007 and 8, Becky, with the 100% financing those products rolled out. If you had a 580 credit score, you could do 100% loan back then.
And conventional loan,
yeah,
right.
But it was to promote home ownership. Well,
I'm not with you there, Dean. Well, I don't think it was to promote home ownership. I think it was for the mortgage companies and the backers of those mortgage companies to make the money from the mortgages.
True. But it was heavy emphasis from the government for home ownership that in essence fed the pockets you're referring to. But you had people owning homes that had no business buying a house. And those people exist today. That, you know, we've got to be smart with what we're doing. I want everyone to own a home, but not everyone should own a home.
Well, I mean, some people are just
right.
Not as responsible with money, which is why their credit score is lower, why they haven't saved as much down payment. So that's what FHA was designed to take care of. is you can get in as little as 3.5% down, and you can have a higher debt-to-income ratio on an FHA loan, and you can have a lower credit score but yet still get the same interest rate. So why do they have to mess with conventional loans?
Agree. And FHA was created for the audience that you just wrapped up right there. It was created for I don't have credit depth or I have sketchy credit. I can go down to 580. Back then it was 3% down. So they tightened it up a little bit, went to 3.5% down. But I'm saying it was created for that buyer. And so
well, and we're not talking about buyers that none of them were designed for terrible
right.
credit risk.
Subprime.
Do you know something? I'll tell you a story about I was selling an investment property I owned that had a duplex on it plus a little house behind the duplex. So it was sort of like a triplex property. And I had a realtor call me who wanted to buy the property. And he said, well, I'm working on my credit, but maybe you could carry it for me until I get the credit score up enough to buy this investment property. I said, well, what is your credit score? It was 440. 440. And I was going, dude, you will never get that credit score up because you've got to change your ways. Mm-hmm. You can't just have somebody work on the back end of that. You got to pay your bills on time. Mm-hmm. No, thank you. I do not choose to loan money to someone that a mortgage company.
Right.
Now, you guys think about this that are listening today. If someone asks you to carry their note because a mortgage company won't give them the money, mortgage companies are in the business of loaning money.
Right.
And they're not going to take the risk on that person.
Right.
So why would you, with your hard-earned money, take that risk? So don't loan people
and
money.
Even because I hear that scenario that says, you know, I'm going to go ahead and carry the financing back to the buyer, and they have a 500 credit score, but I'm going to charge them 10% rent.
Well, you're not going to get anything.
That's what I'm saying. 10% of what? I mean, because if you're not drawing rents, then you know that credit pattern.
Right.
And that's the piece on credit that people don't understand is I love, and the industry says, I would rather see someone with bad credit who has a credit history and rebound compared to someone who has no credit score at all, who's never had credit. And that's the industry, how it looks at it is you can see when we pull credit that someone had issues in 2019 and 20, but now they've rebounded and now they're at 650, but you knew where they came from.
Right.
When someone who has no pattern, lending in general views that more risky, even though by choice the consumer chooses to have no debt.
Right.
There's no pattern.
Well, you can get that manually underwritten if they have not.
We do that.
If they don't have a credit score, not a zero. There's no such thing as a zero credit score.
No,
is
you'll have no score, and then we have to do the manual underwrite.
But what's the lowest credit score?
Well, it's 350 to 850 is your credit range.
Man, 350, that would be a pretty bad risk.
Yeah. Yeah, and credit score. Anyway, that's a different subject. But that's real. That's life. That's things that we all, whether you're buying a house or not, you need a credit score. It's going to impact your homeowner's insurance. It's going to impact your car insurance. Credit score is real. You got to embrace the game that it is.
A lot of people don't know that. The credit score.
It's real.
When you sign up accepting insurance on your vehicle mm-hmm. and on your home, mm-hmm. You're signing that they can check that credit mm-hmm. every 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And they do. And they will go up on your rates or they will cancel you if you're a bad credit risk.
I think on the car insurance side, and homeowners too, I'm not sure they see a score as much as they see a great, good, and fair, poor. You know what I'm saying? I think there's a range that defines in car insurance or homeowners insurance world. They don't see a 750 score. They see great.
Oh, okay.
Or good, or, you know, fair, poor.
Okay.
The credit score is real.
Well, when we come back from the break, we'll be talking about if you get punished for having a higher credit rating, should you just lower it just a tad? When we come back on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK.
NMLS number 196-895.
Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. We are here with Dean Riddell, our money man from SWBC Mortgage, and we're talking about the new kind of mortgage fees. And Dean, I want to make sure I have this right. It's LLPA is what has changed,
yes,
which is kind of a not a well-known fee. It's kind of been...
There have always been loan-level price adjustments that started in 08 with the collapse that really kind of ramped up. And by definition, a loan-level price adjustment is Mark wants to buy a primary residence. Okay. No, Mark changes the rules or thought, and now it's going to be a rental property. Well, by virtue of it being a rental property, the government said, or Fannie says, there's a loan-level price adjustment because you are riskier with a rental property compared to a primary. But that all started back in 08.
Mm.
So it's not new, but it's been dormant, quiet, until these recent changes.
It's kind of funny because the rental property brings in money. Your primary residence doesn't. But you're less likely to let your primary residence, your homestead,
that's the key.
Default. Yeah, because it's home, right?
Yes, exactly.
And LLPA again is?
Loan level price adjustment.
Okay, which I refer to as kind of like layers of
risk assessment.
Yeah. So let me give an example of what the U.S. News gives an example of the change so that listeners will kind of understand what's happening within this. So somebody getting a $400,000 mortgage with a 20% down payment estimates that the home buyer with a credit score of 659 would save $3,000 in closing cost because of these new rules. Meanwhile, a borrower with a 739 credit score would pay $2,000 more than they would have before May 1st.
Right.
And now the ratio is still higher for the lower credit score rating. The lower credit score rating is 2.5. Higher credit score, it's just 1%.
Right.
But they've just adjusted those so that higher credit scores are paying more than they would have.
But this is going to be, I think Matt and I were in about a month ago and we talked about the reduction of the monthly mortgage insurance for an FHA loan. If you put 10%, it reduced from 0.85 to 0.55, but if you put 10% down, that formula is 0.50, and MI goes away in 11 years.
Oh, boy, in layman's terms.
On an FHA loan, you have monthly mortgage insurance. Conventional loan, you have PMI, private mortgage insurance. Conventional loan, it goes away at 78%. On an FHA loan, unless you put 10% down, you have mortgage insurance for the life of the loan.
Even if you owe only 2%
right
of the value of that property, right, you're still paying mortgage insurance.
If you're putting less than 10% down. But if you're putting 10% down, it goes away in 11 years. So think about what these loan-level price adjustments, this is Dean's opinion, will make us think, do I need to take this buyer who has a 739 score, who's putting 10% down and 20% down, are they better off going FHA?
FHA.
Think.
Yeah.
Because now, your adjustments are gone.
Yeah.
Your MI is still going to go away in 11 years. You're not being penalized based on your score.
There's still an upfront.
There's still upfront
mortgage insurance.
They're still upfront. That's your only number that you got to factor
which
in.
Which is 1.75% of the loan amount.
Correct.
So if you're borrowing on a $400,000 mm-hmm. loan, That can be considerable.
You bet. It can be.
Yeah.
And on the loan level price adjustment, so let's say it's that 1% mark you just mentioned, that's a cost of the amount financed. So if you're financing 320 because they put 20% down on a $400,000 home, that's $3,200 that the buyer can pay at closing. The buyer can agree to elevate the rate up an eighth or a quarter, You know, it's still money, guys. But they can they got to pay it. But it can be paid at cash or it can be paid by virtue of rate. I think it gets deeper than that, though, too, when someone calls Dean and Matt and says, what is your rate on a 30-year conventional loan? Can we truly quote that rate?
Well, that would be tough, wouldn't it?
You dadgum right, Becky.
Yeah. Hmm.
Because until you know credit, and we're going to talk about debt ratio here in a minute because that really gets it tougher, but if you don't know down payment certain, because some people aren't certain when they apply, I don't know if I want to put 5% down or 20% down. Guys, that's apples and oranges with loan level price adjustment.
So because my understanding of the loan level price adjustment is the rate, I mean, the rate's gone up for 20% down, but if you're putting 3 and 5% down, it's maybe gone down.
Right. So we had one the other day, and I wish I had the income numbers in front of me. I've got a young buyer putting 5% down. We flipped them into the low to moderate income program to avoid the loan level price adjustment.
Now, how did you flip them into that?
Their income was less than adverse to doing just a Fannie vanilla 5% down, 95% loan. We did their low to moderate income program because you know, they were 3% down program.
Yes.
We did that program, but put 5% down. They were less than the income limits. We could avoid the loan level price adjustment.
So what is the difference? What's the determining factor of a conventional loan that has 3% down and one that has 5% down?
You know, when you got into the business, when I got into the business, the core conventional loan was 5% down. Conventional loan, there wasn't 3% down. When HUD got, FHA got squirrely with their...
mortgage insurance?
Yeah. Mortgage insurance. You start seeing Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac open up their conventional product, 3% down. It's still not your core. Your core is 5. But a low to moderate income program, 3% down, to kind of counteract the FHA product. So based on income limits, as compared to a vanilla FHA loan, they could make $1 million and still do an FHA loan. You can't make $1 million a year and do a low to moderate income 3% down conventional loan because there's income limits that apply.
So the things that really matter on qualification is your income. You don't even have to have a job. You just have to have income, right?
Right.
Okay. And you have to have a certain debt to income ratio. How much is your monthly outgo compared to your monthly income?
Right.
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 And your credit score.
Right.
And your assets or your down payment. Kind of both.
Right.
Of those, right? How much money are you going to pay down? And then you look at how much assets there are. And are there still requirements on reserves in the bank? Like, can you spend your last dollar on your closing costs to get in?
And what you see from our eyes are, if you've got that 739 score that Mark just referenced and you're taking every nickel they can to closing, you'll probably get an approval, a green light. But if I have the same dynamics of that customer who had the 659, was that the number you used?
Yes, 659.
And I was taking every nickel to closing, it may say no. You know, I mean, there's no reserves left over. Why? Because that credit score is a part of that reserve decision that you get.
Like, dude, you're not going to be able to make your first
not
payment.
Make your first payment's not going to be there. So, Dean, if someone is putting 20% down, is it worth it to them to go and put 5% down
probably.
Instead?
Probably. I mean, you got – let's throw darts at it, Mark. I mean, when I say – where you say 5% down, what's the first thing any consumer is going to do? Or why are they putting 20% down to avoid PMI?
Well, because my thought on it is if you have enough to then make that, like, you go in, pay your 5% down, and then take the extra cash you have and put it against principal.
Well, we've talked on this station before about the recast. So I've had some people go, well, Dean, I'll put 5% down so I can avoid the loan level price adjustment. I'm going to wait 2 months. Then I'm going to put that other $30,000 down, and do a recast with you. Yeah. Recast costs $250, but what you're doing is avoiding that loan level price adjustment.
Yeah.
We've got a client that we sent to you that is probably going to do that recast because they've got two homes to sell.
That's ideal, Becky.
And they can afford
qualify with
to
both.
Qualify for all three homes at the same time.
Right.
But they want to buy and then sell.
Right.
So there you go.
I mean, that recast is, I mean, that's the answer.
Yeah, just recalculate your mortgage based on
you don't
total,
start over. Yeah,
does
yeah.
the amount. Does the recast keep the interest rate that
yeah.
was
can't change
was
rate,
there?
Can't change term. So if they recast, and they can do it more than once. So I've got some clients that sell, and they walk away with $200,000. They'll go, Dean, I want to put $100,000 down. Let's do a recast. Okay, cost $250. You change your principal and interest portion of their payment. Re-amortize it for the remaining 29 and a half years they have left.
Okay.
And then come back around and do it again.
Awesome.
Well, that's not the only change that the feds are trying to do. There's a change they're trying to do on debt-to-income ratio, right, Dean? We'll be talking about that when we come back right here on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000, KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Mark Carr, team member of the Becky Ivins Real Estate Team, here with Becky Ivins and our special guest, Dean Riddell from SWBC Mortgage. And it's time for our word of the day. Our word of the day is brought to you by Robbins Roofing, where their word every day is trust. You can trust Robbins Roofing from a small repair to a complete replacement. Give them a call at 728-3700. That's 405-728-3700. Becky, what's our word of the day?
Well, it's a term, which is debt-to-income ratio. And that's what we're going to be talking about this segment is debt-to-income ratio. And it compares how much you owe each month to how much income you have each month, whether you've earned it or whether it's from investments. It's just DTI, it's called, right? Debt to income ratio. And it's a specific percentage of your gross monthly income before taxes is the ratio that you go to when you're trying to qualify someone.
And Dean, so what's the magic number that people have to get to with DTI?
You know, and this will shock Becky, and considering where we both started, but conventional financing, which is Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, will allow up to 50% debt ratio off gross monthly income, which is scary a little bit when you think about it.
Didn't that used to be like 26% and 29%?
Yeah.
26% for housing, 29% overall debt right. to income ratio.
But it is now 50.
50%.
Wow. But the part that when I teach my CE classes, I will say to the agents, I'll go, I'm not saying every conventional buyer can do a 50% debt ratio.
You have to have a really high
credit score, guys, circles back into that equation.
And high income to do a 50%.
Yeah, no, but it's almost credit score because 50 is 50 regardless of income. So 50 is 50, but if Susie's got an 800 credit score, I'm going to get a green light. If Susie's got a 650, I'm not going to get a green light on approval because of that debt ratio.
Now, my thought on that is different than yours, is different than the government's, right? But if someone has a 50% spend of, say, $20,000 a month,
agree,
is different than a 50% debt on a $10,000, the residual
agree
to live on
agree
is much higher. And that's how VA has done their loans for a long time, is they take into consideration the size of the family living on that income and the residual income after not only just the house payment, but all the other debt is paid.
Right. Right? Agree. Totally agree.
But you're not as outraged as I am about this.
I agree with, and I go back to the gross income. You know, there's people who don't make $50,000 a year, which is what we're using to qualify them, when you take out their withholdings or insurance or 401k, that's a much smaller number. But that
right.
50 is kind of, that's a number. So, but your FHA financing, oh my gosh, guys. I mean, you can go to 55, 56, 57% debt ratio. On an FHA loan, absolutely.
Well, that's a mistake. Okay,
it kind of goes against the first time buyer mindset that it was created for. Why would a first time buyer be able to go to a 55% debt ratio off gross income?
Yeah, unless I can see if you're just a really high earner, but to squeak by like that.
I know.
You have a problem and someone falls and sprains an ankle and they are on a manual labor job and they can't work for 3 weeks.
Agree.
You're in trouble, right?
I don't make the rules, Becky. I just have to. We have to close loans that are based on what FHA, VA, conventional financing requires.
Well, our debt-to-income ratio term that we're using as our word of the day was brought to you by Robbins Roofing, and I have to remind everybody that there's a lot of hail that has hit lately in the metro. You need to get Robbins Roofing out there to look at your roof, because if you're damaged, I mean, they send you a roofing report. Do you know what was real funny? I asked for a roofing report on a property, and it went back 6 or 7 years prior to that property being built. Prior to that house being built on that property, it'll tell you the size of the hail and exactly when it hit, what date. And it was kind of surprising to me that it had 2.75-inch hail.
Wow.
But yet, the insurance company didn't think it needed to be replaced. The roof needed to be replaced.
And Larry's first class.
Larry is first class.
I mean, yeah,
Larry Robbins.
You got to surround yourself with talented people. In that industry.
Well, they have integrity. I love that about them.
Yep.
I want to remind listeners that there is a time limit for you to make a claim on your roof every insurance company.
If you call, I had a client do this. They waited to file their claim, and they literally filed it 2 days after the year mark from when that hail hit, and their insurance company didn't pay. So if you have a claim, you definitely need to put it on your calendar. Get a roofing report from Robbins Roofing. You guys get your pencil. I'm going to give you that number one more time. It's 728-3700, 405-728-3700.
And one more thing on that, and correct me, you guys would know this. If you file a claim today and the insurance pays, you still have, 12 months to place that roof on?
I'm not sure about that. I would have to
check. You know what I'm saying? If I filed a claim with Liberty Mutual today, they paid it, I don't have to react immediately. I think there's a timeline in which that, because Larry's the one who said, Dean, yes, you need to do something. Won't you wait a couple months let's get through May, June.
Right.
Before we look, because you have a year to do so.
A year from the time the hail fell.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely.
And that may tie into your one-year comment where they were 2 days late.
Right.
Yeah.
And the insurance company didn't pay.
Yeah.
So that would be a terrible thing to do. So,
Dean, I got a question for you. So there is changes coming from the debt-to-income ratio that they've delayed until August, making a decision whether to implement them? Mm-hmm. Am I understanding that correctly?
It was part of the initial rollout of what was kicking in May 1, that basically there would be another loan level price adjustment based on their debt ratio. That basically, that number was 40%. So on a conventional loan, if a buyer who had a debt ratio of 42%, there was a loan level price adjustment because that debt ratio was above 42.
That word is loan level price adjustment, not low level.
Right, right.
Okay, loan level.
That used to be around, loan
yes,
level.
Yes, I know.
Back in the day. But the mortgage bankers are fighting loan level price adjustments as a whole, big time, but they were able to get this debt ratio piece postponed until August 1. So hopefully that won't kick in, but Mark is on break. I made an example. If Mark Carr applies with me today, Mark's putting 5% down. Let's make it the best case to avoid the adjustment. But you've got a debt ratio of 42, and you've got $1 million in a 401k that we could use. You're going to be hit with a charge because your debt ratio is above the 40% number.
Well, so that's going in the opposite direction, kind of. Right? Because, I mean, the way I understood this, and I hope I was wrong.
Well, they're going to penalize you if your debt ratio is higher than the determined number of 40%.
Well, that makes sense to me. Because your debt-to-income ratio, the lower that is, the less risk you are.
Agree on that side. Totally agree. But what I don't like about it, it ignores Mark's $1 million he has in his 401k. There's no consideration to asset base. Mark could control his 40 if he wanted to, but he's choosing not to. He wants that $1 million to grow on the sidelines. And yes, his debt ratio is 42. Is Mark in trouble? No, because he's got that money set aside.
Right.
But he's going to be penalized by keeping it aside because your debt ratio is above 40%.
Now, is that a hard and fast rule, Dean?
It's
not something that you can go, well, let's ask the underwriter and manually underwrite this.
No, it'll be a hard and fast rule, but what it's going to make me as a lender think is, Susie, I need you to go pay off that car to drop that $300 car payment.
But my car's on 0%.
You'll get that too. Or go pay off this debt and this debt to control that 40% to minimize that adjustment.
Yeah. Boy, it gets kind of complicated, doesn't it?
We talked about this a little bit too. It gets real complicated if Becky calls me and says, Dean, what's your rate on it? And let's say the debt ratio thing kicks in to the industry. Becky calls me and says, what's your rate on a 30-year term? Can any lender truly give you a rate? No.
Well, best case scenario, it's this, but it could be this.
Well, it's going to have to be disclaimer 101 that basically says, assuming your credit score is above X, assuming your debt ratio is below Y, this is where you're going to, and you're putting down Z, this is where you're going to be.
Well, and that's what everyone's going to have in that very tiny small print at the bottom of the page when they start quoting these rates.
Right.
So we'll have to put a little clarifier on that. Qualifier to clarify.
But, you know, internally, exactly in our shop, if I've got Mark who has a standard 40-hour job, makes X dollars a month, and has a part-time job, gets child support, let's say, and I don't need it to qualify, I'll a lot of times not even go worry about the child support income because you qualify. And let's say your debt ratio is 42. Now I'm going to go chase every nickel I can to control that debt ratio to manage to that 40.
And that's why you need an expert to talk this over with, someone that'll literally sit down and visit with you. Because if you try qualifying online, they'll qualify you, but the interest rate is going to be different than what they've held out that carrot to be initially.
And my sore spot on the online piece, Becky, is people don't know what they don't know. So they go online and they apply and they say, I want to put 20% down. You know the routine. I want to put 20% down. Here's your pre-approval.
Right, I know.
There's no discussion, there's no education, there's no dialogue from the lender to the consumer.
Yeah.
Is that the best
option?
There's
just so many different roads you can go down to make it work.
Totally
and
agree.
It may not be a straight ahead one because the rules keep changing. We'll be right back on here on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000 KTOK. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. It is time for our smoking hot deals.
Hot, hot, hot. Feeling hot, hot, hot.
Our smoking hot deals are brought to you by Casa Perico Mexican Grill, located on the south corner of 122nd and Penn, and on 63rd, just west of Meridian. Casa Perico, evidently.
And on Route 66.
And on Route 66 in Yukon.
There you go. Did you guys go have a Mexican meal and a margarita for Cinco de Mayo?
I've had Casa Perico twice this week.
Oh, wow.
Once Mike Gannon and I had lunch together on Tuesday, Casa Perico, 63rd Meridian.
Okay.
And then with the team, we had lunch on Cinco de Mayo.
We did.
At the Casa Perico, 122nd and Penn.
So today it's, right after the Derby today, you could go to Yukon. So there you go. Okay.
It's Mayo de 6-0.
Yeah, Mayo de 6-0. Okay, here we go. Our smoking hot deal is not on the market yet. So this is a preview of this property for you. It will go on the market today. So our realtor friends, if you want to go check it out, it'll be on the market within about a couple of hours. It is in Rockwell Park, which is near, it's between 150th and 164th. On the west side of Rockwell. And this is only built in 2020, and it's almost 1,800 square feet. So it's got the tall ceilings. The front yard looks nice. You can plant the backyard yourself to be exactly what you want to. That's not done yet. But the house is fabulous, and it has a three-car garage. So the three-car garage is quite nice. In Rockwell Park, it's on 159th Terrace, and it is $325,000 for a house that's just a couple years old. So that's our smoking hot deal.
Beautiful place, great condition. I love it. It has the tankless water heater.
Yes, yeah.
One of my favorite features.
Yeah, and the post tension slab, and it's good house. Built by
two structures, I believe.
Okay, there you go.
Yep.
I was going to say there's brothers that have different. Yes, it is two structures. I wanted to say the other name. We do. We have a house listed by them too. So there you go. The other brother. So we're here with Dean Riddell. Dean, let's kind of wrap it up. We've got about 5 minutes left to tell everybody everything they need to know about this loan level price adjustment. I think that LLPA is going to be in our vernacular for a while.
Me too. And I think it'll come and go. It was in our top of mind back in 2008.
Let's see if I can get this right. Loan level price adjustment, LLPA, means that your interest rate is affected by
let's back up. There's a cost associated based on the dynamics of the financing you're doing, which can impact interest rate.
Okay.
So there's a cost because your rate may not be affected if you pay the cost, or you can affect your rate, but you're paying the charge.
Okay. So
you with me? Mark, that makes sense.
You saw my face. No, I'm not with you.
You said it could affect your interest rate. I'm saying it may not affect your interest rate. You may have an additional charge that could A, affect your rate, or B, not affect your rate, and you pay that cash for that charge at closing.
Because sometimes it's paid outright, and sometimes it's rolled into the interest rate.
Correct. You can do it one or two ways.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
So there's a cost involved.
Bingo.
In having which is affected by your credit score, your debt to income ratio.
And down payment.
And your down payment. So let's see if I can do this a second time. LLPA, which is loan level price adjustment, has a cost dependent upon your credit score, your interest rate, and the amount of your down payment.
For what type of loan?
For a conventional loan.
There you go.
FHA loans are not really affected by this.
At all.
Okay.
And that's where I think FHA will come into the game, you know, with that and with reduction of the mortgage insurance. And I think FHA will be more of a...
You'll have more FHA loans
more
written.
Kind of, here's the moral to the story. If I've been in business over 40 years and it's hard for me to wrap my head around this, you need an expert to guide you down this path to make the right decisions. Because if you do it wrong, you're likely to get penalized for having a larger down payment, a higher credit score, and a low debt-to-income ratio. So you need to sit down and talk to somebody.
Totally agree.
Applying online, I hate to tell people just don't apply online, but it's ever so important that you sit down and talk with your loan officer.
Our routine is, you know, a customer will call me today and say, I want to buy a house. I'll say, when can we get together? They'll say, do I need to apply online to come see you? You don't have to. You can come see me. But we always end that with, they'll say, what's the next step? You need to go apply online. So what my routine is, Becky, go apply online. I'm going to call you back. Let me know what day and time is good for you next week. Take the time. Let's sit down. Let's go through what your game plan is. To me, there's nothing better.
Well, the decision as to which way to go on that, the thing is a consumer does not know what their options are.
I agree.
But you do,
right.
And you can direct them. Sometimes it's going to be more advantageous to get an FHA loan than a conventional loan.
Totally agree.
And some,
because you go back to Mark's analogy a while ago of the 659 picture.
659 credit score.
Yeah, okay, and you were comparing a 659 to a 739. Let's be honest. A 659 score is what type of loan really should they be doing?
FHA.
Probably FHA.
And so you're probably better off in that picture going FHA compared to a conventional, because your rate and your MI is affected gigantically, guys, by that 659 score. So that, Becky, that echoes what you just said. You need to get with your lender. You need to sit down. Don't rely on the internet. There's great tools there. I'm not saying that, but you go sit down and understand what you're doing, because it's not one size fits all, I promise you.
This is one of the biggest changes that's been in our industry I've been in business. So it's a big deal.
Yeah,
thank you, Dean, for breaking it down and helping even me to understand this.
And the waters are going to get muddier, I think, in August before they get more clear. Thanks for being with us here on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move, News Radio 1000 KTOK.